Vinny and Haney on your home for sports. 105.7 The Fan.
He hits that one high and deep to right field, and he's doing it again. It is gone. Mike Yastrzemski starts the game by going deep in the ninth inning. And Ramos drives one deep left center field out into that triangle. It is off the bottom of the wall. Yastrzemski in to score. Round to third. Wade Ramos has an RBI double.
No, I didn't sense that at all going into the game. I thought our guys were, thought the energy was great in our clubhouse like it normally is. I thought our guys were prepared. I thought we had a really good hitters meeting. I just thought that we faced one of the better pitchers in the game, and we didn't swing the bat well against them. We had a tough time with them.
I mean, it's not fun going through it. I mean, I felt like been talking about it for a while, but just trying to figure out a way to get through it. We've done it pretty much first three quarters of the year, and then just kind of this last little bit's been kind of weird, just kind of been out of sync, it seems like. And I mean, obviously we know we've done it. There's new faces, but they're all really awesome players. So it's kind of weird not being able to get through it, but just got to keep pushing. It's eventually going to go our way at some point.
Brandon Hyde, Gunnar Henderson talking about what happened last night, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Yeah, I just said to Ryan Ripken during the crossover here, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, of course, just did a Big Bad Morning Show, Jeremy Kahn. Was that rock bottom? UFO's got a song, Rock Bottom. Rock Bottom. More of an appropriate Turn It Up Tuesday sort of tune. It is Woman Crush Wednesday today, but did the Orioles rock bottom? I thought rock bottom may have been Friday night when they almost got no hit by the Tigers and eventually wound up having the tying run at third base with two outs because of Gunnar. But last night, look, we talked about it during Baltimore Baseball Tonight, me and Mike Bordick. Live from Pickles, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Giants come in here, lost four in a row. They've been shot out in three of those losses. They scored three runs in the finale against the Padres. And they come out here two pitches in. Nolan, I hadn't even had my bag packed from Pickles yet, and they were losing 1-0. And I love Pickles. And we only got a couple more shows to go, including tonight. Mike Yastrzemski, ironically enough, one of the first procedural moves that Mike Elias did was trade Mike Yastrzemski to the 49ers or the Giants, or it could have been the 49ers where he had three touchdowns in his rookie season for a guy named Herb. A lot of people want to smoke some Herb watching the Orioles right now to get mellow. But Yastrzemski made him pay. That was when DJ Stewart was still part of the equation, former first-round pick out of Florida State, now with the Mets. So if you want to look at some Mike Elias mistakes, and yeah, it's 5 years in the rearview mirror, they probably should have kept him around a little bit, because Mike Yastrzemski's had a good career.
Mm-hmm.
He made some dough with the Giants. But the offense. And Blake Snell's great. Awesome. He's pitched against the Orioles at Camden Yards before when he was in Tampa. He's got Cy Youngs. He's a brilliant pitcher when he's on his game. And he was on his game last night.
Oh, boy, was he ever.
He was like a video game pitcher where you set the strike zone thing where you want the pitch to go, and it paints corners. He was doing that. Now, I will say this, and I'm going to be glass half empty, Nolan McGraw. Last night's lineup sucked. A lot of outs. Slater, who for the most part, yeah, I'm cool with. But historically, it hit well against lefties. Nah, not so much this year. Eloy Jimenez, what did I say when they traded for him? This got Jesus Aguilar written all over it from 2 years ago. And like Jesus Aguilar, I think he's one for the Orioles. Dude hadn't hit, he's hit one home run since May. And they have Kobe Mayo, who will turn out, I would think, based on his track record on the farm, to be a good hitter, but not right now. Levon Soto, all right. Major league player, tip of the cap for that. Jackson Holliday pining it. Did get the pinch hit late. But that lineup flawed. And when we get to the whip around, a year ago today, I'm going to give you the Orioles lineup when they came from behind to beat the Astros. Remember the Astros? Good team.
Mm-hmm.
Still a good team. Orioles' demise kind of started in Houston after that Yankees series in late June. But the lineup is just unacceptable and unproductive. And that was about as feeble as an at-bat attempt throughout the lineup that you'll see. Now, Blake Snell's got most to do with it. But the approach, and Brandon Hyde said before the game during the press conference with the media and Amie Cordell and, you know, Rock and Rich and Steve Molesky and Jerry Sandusky, and if I'm forgetting you, I'm sorry, Luke Jones. He was saying we had good meetings. There's no bummer clubhouse vibe right now. But Mike Elias said before the game, this is kind of the first mojo loss. And mojo was the word that they've experienced. And Peter Schmuck brought this up a couple of days ago when we had him on. And we've talked about it during there's six games below 500 since June 20th. I think it's actually seven now. The chemistry in that clubhouse, has it been discombobulated? And you even heard Gunnar Henderson say, hey, we got new guys, but they're awesome.
Yeah.
The results are the exact opposite of awesome right now.
Right. I'm completely off at this point. I got nothing. I mean, this is who they are. They're not going to change. They're not going to fix it. They're not going to turn it around. And I would love, by speaking this out there, to be proven wrong, because I've had plenty of bad Orioles takes over the years. I would love this to be the latest example of it. But it hasn't happened for 2 months. Why is it going to happen tonight? Why was it supposed to happen last night? Or why would it possibly happen over the weekend against the Tigers again? It's just not going to happen. This is who they are. And you complain about some of the guys in the bottom of the lineup, rather, that probably shouldn't be here, but they are because of injuries or other reasons. That's all well and good. Not disagreeing with you. But the continued lack of production from your guys that are supposed to be studs, that's the real issue. I mean, we can get on Eloy Jimenez all we want.
We will.
We knew who he was when he got here. That wasn't a hidden secret at all. Adley Rutschman continuing to struggle. Gunnar Henderson, all right, he's had his moments here and there over the past couple weeks. Still struggling overall. Santander, struggling. Those are the guys that are supposed to carry the lineup through times that are lean. Look at New York. Their lineup's had a lot of issues at certain points this year. But Soto and Judge, they still supplied enough on their own to carry the entire lineup. The Orioles don't have that.
Fair take. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And the other thing is you know, like listening to, you know, they said that they had great meetings. Team was jacked up. Problem with that, and Bob, when you got a fragile team, you need some kind of success. And when Yastrzemski goes up there and hits a leadoff homer.
Second pitch of the game.
Yeah, they go, crap, here we go again. You know, I mean, that demoral, all the angst and all the energy that you had, it's like, oh, geez.
And with the offense being as putrid.
Yeah, then you go 1-2-3.
And look, the Orioles, what, 7 of their last 11 games, they've scored 2 runs or less. They've been shut out a few times. And now the Suarez, Dean Kramer tonight, Eflin tomorrow. It's almost like you have to be perfect, because you figure if you're lucky, you'll get 3 runs of offense. So, and to your point, Vinny, we talked about it yesterday. Look, this isn't a new thing on this program anyway. They've been bad offensively for a while. And this is not just, they're in a 2-week slump. It's coming up on 3 months that they've been below 500, and by multiple games now. And then the Yankees blow out Seattle. So they're up by 4. And just as recently as a week and a half ago, we kept saying, or I did anyway, that, hey, this series in New York looks like it's destiny. It's going to decide the division. If anything, the Yankees are going to be popping champagne that week, if not before. The San Francisco Giants are the last team the Orioles face to close out the year with a losing record. And they're worse offensively all year long than the Orioles have been. But last night, they looked like a team that was destined to set the record for runs scored in a season. So, Orioles get bombed. Craig Kimbrel came in late. I mean, come on.
Really. I told you, I felt bad for the guy because it was so bad. You know, I mean, he's been a major leaguer 15 years. He's won a lot of...
He's a borderline Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and to have just... you know, what, he got the first guy out? I said, all right. You know, and then it went down, you know, and then Bob, I mean, like the wild pitches. Yeah, everything that could go wrong went wrong.
He can't throw strikes consistently. Ooh. And gave up the opposite field hit, and then the stolen base, and then things just kind of went.
Stolen base was ugly.
Haywire from there. It was bad for Craig Kimbrel. And in May, or April rather, people wanted him gone. Stabilized in May. Was great in June, to the point where he deserved literal All-Star consideration. Clay Holmes got the nod over Craig Kimbrell. And Clay Holmes has sucked this year for the most part for the Yankees as well. He's blown, what, 11, 12 saves? But since the All-Star break, P.U.
Yeah.
Earn run average is robust. He's been bad at Camden Yards all season long, but Craig Kimbrell, after a brilliant June where his ERA was below one and the batting average against was one, he's slow pitch softball out there. The dudes are like fighting each other to get into the batter's box to swing against him. But given his status and his pedigree, you know, how do you handle it? I mean, you're trying to win. Granted, your chances of winning the World Series have plummeted in the last 2.5 months, but harsh decisions are going to have to be made here sooner rather than later.
Bob, listening to Hyder after, you know, I try to find a place to put him in, you know, and I didn't want to have to. I wanted him to get us out of there, you know, and then I had to bring in Bowman.
Yeah. Bowman.
But that's my
problem.
Who
gave up the inherited runs, by the way.
With Hyde's logic there, and I don't blame him, obviously. I wouldn't be in a rush to put Craig Kimbrell in a game either, but he hadn't pitched in over a week.
Yep.
You went over a week without finding a situation to get this guy in the game. He shouldn't be in the bullpen. That's a wasted spot. So when Jacob Webb comes back and he's finally healthy, who does he bump? You got a DFA, Cole Irvin, and he's out of the picture. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Cole Irvin's, you know, an all-star and should have stayed here. But he gets the boot over Craig Kimbrell. What happens when Danny Coulomb's ready to come back? Who gets the boot then? If it's someone besides Kimbrell, I can't take this team's move seriously.
Nolan McGraw running hot here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Rightfully so. Orioles get drubbed last night at home by San Francisco. Game 2, Dean Kramer taking on a hard-throwing young right-hander there, Hayden Birdsong, for San Francisco. Then it's a day game tomorrow. Then the Tigers are red hot. They're coming to town. We'll get into all of that and more. If you want to vent, let's do it. It's all about venting, it seems. There's no real positive stuff. Hey, the Ravens are favorite, I think. They were last time I checked at Dallas. We'll get into that as Baltimore's back in practice today, getting ready for the Cowboys. Ravens are 0-2. Dallas just got blown out at home by New Orleans, so they're going to be running hot, and we'll see what goes on as the Ravens reconvene and try to straighten out this offensive line. We got film breakdown. Look at the ugly particulars of this past Sunday's loss to the Las Vegas Raiders. Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun, joining us at 11 o'clock. Talk about those Ravens trying to get that first win of the season. Woman Crush Wednesday. It's Vinny 80, Nolan McGraw here on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But this has been a team that has been below 500 by multiple games now for, let's see, coming up on 3 months. June 20th, they blew out the Yankees 17-5. They were 24 games above 500. They were 2-3 games up in the division. Since then, they've been one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. And yeah, Westberg could be back. Mountie could be back. Grayson could be back. However, maybe in a bullpen role, they could get reinforced. Coulomb's going to be pitching for Norfolk, weather permitting. So they're getting reinforcements back, but is it too little too late? Not going to catch the Yankees, I don't think. But to at least generate a little mojo, to borrow a word from Mike Elias yesterday, going into the wild card round.
Yeah.
Assuming they're still the top wild card team. Who knows?
Yeah, because it seems like Judge's slump is over, Bob. He had, what, 4 RBIs?
Soto hit his 40th homer.
Yeah. And I didn't realize, I was on the radio this morning, that they were saying that Judge, He has 26 more RBIs than the closest competitor.
Oh, he's a couple points away from the batting title, which would give him the Triple Crown.
Wow.
In the American League, and he goes through these prolonged slumps, but when he gets hot,
yeah,
he gets like volcano hot. And right now the Yankees, Vinny, we talked about it. What team's going to win 7 of 10, 10 of 14?
You're exactly right.
And the Yankees are the team, and the Orioles are doing the exact opposite. Ravens, believe it or not, let me just double check here because I checked before I drove in this morning. Yeah, Ravens are now 1.5 favorites over Dallas. It was a point at 8 o'clock this morning. Now it's 1.5. How about the Ravens? Favorite on the road. They're 0-2 against Dallas. Everyone's favorite team. All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. And Maryland's big favorites over Villanova.
Dallas has been blown out their last two games at home.
Yeah, the playoff loss to Green Bay, and then New Orleans got Mardi Gras on them. Let's go to Antonio in Rosedale. Antonio, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing all right, all things considered, yeah. Antonio. How you doing?
Good. Happy Woman Crush Wednesday.
Hell yeah.
What can the Ravens do to improve the offensive line now that the season has started? New starters or new offensive shame, and you guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Antonio.
I think they need a new right guard. I if it was me, I would if I'm putting my best five out there, put Makari at right guard, and I'm putting Rosengarten at right tackle, and then I'm gonna help Rosengarten, because actually Rosengarten didn't play that bad with his 17 plays that he was in there.
Let's get back to the phones. Orioles stink right now. Ravens are 0-2. What the hell's going on here late September? Let's go to Tom and Rising Sun. Tom, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
I'd like to talk about the Orioles re-signing some players and about the Ravens making a trade. Number one, they better re-sign Santander because maybe even Burns. Definitely Santander, because they don't re-sign Santander, you're not going to make up all those home runs, and you're going to see attendance drop off. Maybe a quarter of the attendance will drop off if you don't re-sign Santander. And with the Ravens, I say make a trade. Get DaCosta, make a trade. Use some of those draft picks. Make a trade to get some offensive linemen in here.
Well, time out one second. Everybody's looking for old linemen. Nobody's going to give you a good old lineman.
Even for a couple high draft picks?
No, unless you do something stupid, but no, they're not, and Eric's not going to do that.
I just don't see this team even making a whiff of the Super Bowl, not the way it is right now. And you say the Orioles, they're not going to make it out of the wild card round. I doubt that myself. And what do you guys think?
All right, Tom, thanks for the call. Bringing the positivity here
on
September the 19th. Oriole concerns are very valid. I mean, again, we're coming up on 3 months of them being below 500. It kind of is what it is. Ravens, however, offensive line, you know, you're not trading for an all-pro. Everybody wants the all-pro.
Yep.
The question is, Vinny, can the in-house guys level up here? And that's a big question right now.
Rosengarten has a chance. You know, he'll be a player, but when? You know, and he may have to be starting now, and they may just have to kind of baby him and help him at times. The right guard's got to go. I mean, he kills you too much. He is, you know, too many times that when somebody's coming free, 77, you know, his fundamentals are so bad. I don't know if it's that he's lazy or what, like he doesn't bring his feet with him ever. You know, he'll just lunge and reach out, and that's a killer. I mean, Bob, I sent you video, like, they're all falele, lunging, and, you know, Lamar's getting...
very hard to watch.
Yeah.
Well, at least the guy that John Harbaugh loves, Ben Cleveland's around.
Yeah.
He loves him.
Does he love him? He knows what he's
needs to do. Does he love him enough to put him in the lineup? Nolan, we have time for another call. You make the call. Yes, he says. Let's go to Pikesville. It's Q. Q, what's up?
Yeah, good day, fellas. How y'all doing?
All right. All right, man.
Hey, first and foremost, man, props to Tom and Rising Sun. That's the kind of radio I want to hear, reality radio, not this fake BS stuff that y'all trying to do with the positivity. At the end of the day, when I talked to y'all last week, I said pretty much I think the division is over with sooner than later. And they'll finish off the Mariners this series. Then we play the A's. So before y'all even come to the Bronx to play the Bombers, I think it'll be a wrap. So
didn't I say that in the opening statement of the show?
Reality has come to you now.
I'm pretty sure if you've been listening, and I know you do, haven't I been basically for the last weeks going since June 20th or this, since June 20th? You know, I've been giving you a running countdown of how they've been falling out of the playoff picture here. Well, the division picture.
Yeah, you have been saying it as of late. So, you know, the wet dreams and the scoreboard watching with the Yanks, y'all can put that to bed. This team is not, like I said before,
let's go Seattle.
Y'all pitching staff is garbage, but the young boys on your team, they're not ready for war. They're still up and coming. Maybe 2-3 seasons from now, they'll be that team if y'all can, you know, improve y'all pitching. But right now, y'all not ready for war. And as far as the Ravens go,
oh boy,
Vinny, like I was saying postseason, when I'm not going to say you, the station and a lot of blonde Ravens fans were saying, hey, we're going to run. We got Henry. We're going to run up and down the field. And I'm asking y'all, how is that possible with no O-line? Y'all got to replace three guys. And then the fourth guy, Stanley, is suspect. Yeah, he's had two decent games this season, but he's been unreliable last year. And then you keep hyping up Bateman. How is he going to have time? How is Lamar going to have time to throw the ball if your O-line is garbage? So at the end of the day, somebody just said something about they're not going to make the Super Bowl. Y'all really need to be asking if y'all going to even make the playoffs. Take it easy, fellas.
There's Q. Ooh, Aaron Rodgers just got his first win as a Jet.
Yeah.
So he's coming in here, napalm in the Ravens, who are favored, by the way, at Dallas. Yeah, everybody, we all know the warts, and nobody's trying to paint a pretty picture of something that's not pretty. I think Q hears what he wants to hear.
Bob, how long have we been talking about the O-line? I mean, the O-line is
February, I believe. We've been kind of pointing out the weaknesses of the Orioles for the better part of 2 months as well. So come on,
dude. I mean,
I hate the Yankees even more. Right, Nolan? Let's go Seattle.
Don't push back on Q, man. He'll start crying. Start making up stuff. Tell a friend of a friend of a friend to get a message to a friend of a friend.
His guys are playing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, you pissed him off, didn't you?
Well, I don't know. He still calls me and acts like nothing ever happened.
He threw you under the bus?
Yeah. It's all buddy-buddy now.
I got Rona Barrett information, which is third hand. If you don't know who Rona Barrett is, it's an old reference, and I suggest you Google her. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take some calls. We got Vinny's film study. We'll look at the offense. Want to start with them? They weren't offensive. Offensive line was kind of offensive.
That's the problem.
So we'll get into all of that and more. Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun. Preview the Cowboys coming up here at 4:25 down in Arlington, Texas, Jerry World. Whip around left 15, AFC North report. Steelers 2-0. What the hell is going on around here? There you go. So if you're coming down to the ball game tonight, you want to stop by Pickles and say hi to us. It's me, Bordy, and Joe LaCroix. Hopefully we're outside. Doesn't sound too promising there, but come on into Pickles. Get one of those delicious cheeseburgers on National Cheeseburger Day. Vinny's film study coming up in a couple of minutes. Let's get back to the phones. Oh, by the way, the Orioles got blown out last night. Let's go to Jimmy in Silver Spring. Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
Hanging in there,
I want to talk about Mike Elias, and I want to talk about next year's team. Mike Elias is a genius when it comes to drafting players. He gets a D+ when it comes to bringing in guys. The only two moves that he's made this offseason was Eflin and Sir Anthony Dominguez. They're the two guys that he got after giving away 5, 6, 7 prospects. Speaking of prospects, all year long, ever since the first game of the season, all I heard was, we need to see Jackson Holliday. We need to have Kobe Mayo up here. Get these guys up here. How is that working out? I don't agree with Q, but he's absolutely right. These guys are not ready for big time. All the fans, everybody on this radio station, oh, let's get rid of Mateo. Oh, let's get rid of Urias. Oh, let's get rid of Cedric Mullins. Okay. Next year, they need to re-sign Santander. They need to bring Mountcastle back. They need to bring Mullins back. They need to bring Urias and Mateo back and let those guys sit in the minor leagues, get 500, 600, 1,000 at bats, no matter what it takes, until they're ready. Now, injuries have crippled us. I don't blame Mike Elias on the injuries, okay? I think that if all our guys were healthy, we'd be a lot better stead. What I blame him for are bringing in these bums and not replacing it and not bringing us good players to play with. What do you guys think about that?
All right, Jimmy, thanks for the call. Look, the young guys are playing in large part because of the injuries you just talked about. Ramon Urias, Jorge Mateo. Remember, he dislocated his elbow a couple of months ago. Cedric Mullins is playing really good baseball. The only free agents that they have to deal with are Corbin Burns and
Santander.
I believe O'Hearn might be hitting free agency too. So that's another discussion they're going to have. But if the guys that are hurt were healthy, they'd be playing right now. But they're not here, so you have to make do with what you have. And to your point, and I think anyone who watches the games realizes, yeah, they are overmatched. Jackson Holliday hasn't started in, what, 3-4 games?
Yeah.
Now Kobe Mayo has one hit in his career, still looking for the home run. But you said Kerstad had two knocks last night, which was good to see.
Stowers and Norby both did.
Yeah, but hey, Stowers, whatever. There are guys, in my opinion, ahead of him in the pecking order here. And Kerstad's one of them. Norby, I was always Team Norby. And yeah, let's be honest, a lot of people didn't even know who the bleep Connor Norby was until he got traded or got called up here in May. So let's pump the brakes on that. But they need to get something going here with Santander, maybe long-term. But I said before the season, 3 years for 60 mil, that's not going to get done now.
Nope.
And Corbin Burns is probably, in all likelihood, going to the highest bidder, and rightfully so, because now is the time for him to strike while the iron is hot, and he's pitching really well at the right time for him. But unfortunately, the Orioles can't score any runs. We see the results. They get blown up by a team that had been shut out three times in their previous four games. At Vinny at 81057, the Fan will come back. Film study. Ravens, their offense. All right. Offense isn't bad statistically, but if you dig deeper, is it worse than we thought?
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Ravens are 0-2, including last Sunday at home against the Las Vegas Raiders. Ravens, big favorites. I believe they were the biggest favorite of this past weekend's games. So they dropped to 0-2. Why? Let's break it down. Offensive film study.
Yeah, I think, offensively, you can say what you want. It all goes back to the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line, although Lamar's only been sacked three times, if it wasn't Lamar, if they had Kirk Cousins or something like that, he may be have sacked 10 times by now. I mean, that's how bad the offensive line has been. And the biggest problem is watching the film with the offensive line. Fundamentally, like, they get overextended. They don't move their feet. They'll reach. All those things. And you know what? It's all five. It's all five. And the problem with the offensive line is it only takes one to screw up. And they have a hard time having five do it right. You know, and then watching the tape, the best runs they had, they were all left. They all, running left. Because, you can't. Filele can't pull, because if he pulls, he can't turn up. And that's probably the problem, because they like to pull. But they'll pull Voorhees. But the problem with was they pull him, and Crosby was coming in so fast, it would just be a mass destruction at the point, and then there's nowhere to go. So if they had a good offensive line, they're the best offense in the league right now with awful offensive line. If they had a really good offensive line, can you imagine the numbers that they would be putting up? Now, likely, he continues. That dude, man, he just finds a way to make plays out. He's got a knack for it. And then also, the Andrews and Lamar, they're lacking a little bit of cohesiveness right now because Andrews is sitting in the middle of the field. Lamar's telling him to go down the field. And Lamar throws it down the field. And the one time, he thought Andrews was going to keep running, and Andrews stopped. So they're not, on the same page right now. But they need to improve the fundamentals. That's the whole thing offensively. And even like with, Bateman, his interception. Get your hands out there. Catch the ball. Do the little things properly. That's a lot of the problem right there. And penalties. I mean, Bob, offensively, they're third, and they've had the third most penalties of anybody. And when they get their penalties, and we keep harping back to the Henry run, I showed you the video. He doesn't do anything in the play. And that's the game right there. I mean, you've got the defense on its heels. You've got them ready to, you know, that 250-pounder just pound, pound, pound. The reason they brought him here, and then he wants to jump off sides because he's off balance in a play that you're not even a part of, which is sad. So, I still think that watching the tape, they need a blocking tight end. Ricard was kind of iffy. You know, he's hit and miss, too. You know, that's the problem. They're all hit and miss. And if five guys do it right and one guy screws up, they get a lost yardage play. That's the problem. And, you know, and what's Harb's talk about it, they're inconsistent.
Yeah.
They are. That's the biggest thing with that offense, they're inconsistent. And, you know, because they've got the trigger man and everybody wants to complain about, oh, the clock is running down. No, Lamar's in control of all that. Because he gets a play with like 15 seconds left, and he's got him up at the line of scrimmage, and he's telling, hey, you come in, I need you to chip, and then he's reading the coverage, and then he's getting the ball out. And, you know, too bad on the one, the deflection, he was going to hit, you know, on the one that got deflected on the, what, second down or third down? Zay Flowers was open. He was throwing it right to him. He was going to catch it. And then I showed you on the deep ball, you know, like little things. You want to talk about little things? If Zay Flowers keeps running right before the end of the game on the deep route, if he takes his guy deep, likely catches that ball because Zay Flowers is standing right next to him and Zay's guy knocks the ball away. Otherwise, they're kicking a field goal from the 35 to tie it and go to overtime. Those are the little things that they've done in the past that they're not doing right now.
But offensive identity or lack thereof, what can you assess through two games? Do they know who they are offensively? Do they run? Do they throw? Are they a balanced offense? What is that identity through 2 weeks?
Well, Bob, they've rushed it or they've thrown it. They've attempted 75 passes and they've attempted 59 runs. So they're throwing it and, you know, they've behind in the Kansas City game, sure, which you had to throw. But they want to run the football. They want to run the football. But if you don't make any yards on first down, then you get behind. I mean, ideally, you're gaining your 4 yards or 4 yards on first down. You're second and six. Ravens are always like second and eight. Then all of a sudden, you're third and seven. Then, you know, then Henry's out and Hill's in. So, I mean, that's the biggest problem that they've got. That's the biggest issue they've got right now, you know, is the inconsistencies. And the receivers, I mean, they're making plays when they get opportunities. Tight ends making plays when they get opportunities. But Lamar just needs some time to throw. And Bob, like, putting Henry pitching it, you know, like faking the pitch to him, hitting Zay Flowers over the middle. I like all that. To me, they've evolved from week one to week two. Week one, I was like, damn, it's like two different offenses. Whereas now, it looks like they're getting a much better feel. They're doing some play action stuff on first down, those types of things. But they still are trying to get the hammer going. But it's hard to get the hammer going when you don't knock anybody off the ball. That's the problem. There's, you know, I feel bad for Henry. Henry, you know, where's the hole? I think that's why they started running those pitch outs and stuff to get him out there and get him going. And when they ran those pitches to the left, he had some pretty good success in the game.
How would you assess Linderbaum through two games?
Struggling a little bit right now. I think, you know, not practicing for a month, I think it's taken him a little bit of time to get going, but he's always struggled with those big guys, and they had 95 for them. He was 326 pounds, and he had, you know, he had a few whiffs in there too, Lindenbaum. Lindenbaum's got to tighten it up, and now that he's had two games under his belt and a couple weeks of practice, he should be much better this week.
Ravens back at practice today, getting ready for the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to hear from John Harbaugh tomorrow because he'll meet with the media.
Today's the coordinators, I think.
Wednesday. It'll be Harbsy.
Oh, yeah.
Harbsy and select players. Usually Lamar gets a little Wednesday activity. But Ravens 1.5-point favorite to Dallas. And, hey, look, the Cowboys are coming off a drubbing at home at the hands of the New Orleans Saints, a game in which they were pretty much done by halftime. So that extra motivation for them to not drop to 1-2. I mean, the Ravens are trying to get to 1-2. Dallas does not want to fall to 1-2 with both of their losses being at home. But yet, the odds makers, Vinny, think the Ravens are worthy, at least for now, of being the favorites in this contest.
Well, I think that they see that the Ravens can run the football, Bob, and that Dallas doesn't do a good job. I mean, New Orleans, you know, at 35 points at the half, and they've been blown out twice at home. I mean, blown out, giving up a lot of points. So I think they're concerned. And the Raven, and Dallas has no run game. So, all right, so you got to throw it all day long. And it's hard to beat a team when all you're going to do is drop back and throw it. The Ravens are going to be able to get after them. And really, you know, because all they've got, other than C.D. Lamb, Bob, who are you worried about?
Hey, Brandon Cooks catches one once in a blue moon there. But we'll get into stat breakdown later in the show. We're going to have the defensive film coming up at 12 o'clock when we get the news from the Nets. Yeah. Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun. We'll talk about the Ravens at 0-2. Looking ahead to Dallas trying to get that win at 425. Hey, it's on Fox. And that means Tom Brady gets to call the game. That means we get to hear Tom Brady for the first time this year because I haven't heard him. You know, you get the Ravens game, you get the other game that's on, and then you red zone it up. We haven't had Tom Brady for four quarters. Nolan, I'm sure you're excited about hearing this one, aren't you? Tom Brady, first game?
Hey, if it's a Ravens win, yeah. I don't care who's calling.
That's right. Yeah. We could be doing it. We'd be a little on the homerish side, but it'd be fun nonetheless. Well, we got Brian Wacker talking about that whip around coming up at 11:15, and then we go around the AFC North with Daniel Oyefusi, covers the Browns for ESPN, Jeff Hobson, CincinnatiBengals.com, and Brian Bacco, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, BBT Tonight, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Live from Pickles, 5:30. Me, Mike Bordick, Joe LaCroix. Orioles, they stink right now. I mean, it is what it is. Just look at the record. They built up a ton of equity for 2.5 months. But the last 2.5 months, they've been one of the worst teams in baseball.